Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Thursday edition coming up in 20 minutes. Armando Salguero will join us. A lot to discuss across the National Football League, owners' meetings, and more. Some disgruntled owners, no doubt. 31 of them at least. Because Stan Kroenke and the Los Angeles Rams, whenever they moved from St. Louis, of course, if you're familiar with that saga, the city of St. Louis sued the NFL for how the team up and left. And it was assumed that Kroenke would be paying the $795 million to the city of St. Louis. I say assumed. I'm a bit surprised that the owners were surprised about this. But turns out, based on the way Kroenke has argued this, 31 other owners will now contribute to that overall fee, that overall settlement of the $795 million, where they're each paying $7.5 million, or in a better way to put this, $7.5 million is being withheld from their earnings from their individual clubs as the NFL will stroke a check to the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, and so the way this read earlier in this process, a lot of owners, it seems, went along with this because they were indemnified.
Yes.
By Kroenke and Kroenke's mouthpiece, really, Jerry Jones, that if everybody signed off on this, and it had to be 24, as we say, of the 32 teams, and I think it was more than that, ultimately, that signed off on this and decided it was good for the NFL to get back in business in Los Angeles. And they were getting an NFL Network studio out of it and other things, that Kroenke was going to deal with exiting St. Louis and what exiting St. Louis took, and that they were okay with the things that it took to get into Los Angeles so long as he took care of getting them out of St. Louis. And the rumblings were at that time, I don't know, the rumblings were at that time, they're fine with it. The rest of ownership was fine with it. The vote went in his favor, largely because at the end he guaranteed them he would take care of St. Louis. And now the St. Louis bill came to fruition. He had this, I think it was a settlement for $790 million.
Yes.
St.
Yep.
Louis won in a big way because the NFL didn't hold up to what it needed to hold up to with St. Louis. So it cost the NFL $790 million to get out of St. Louis. And the rest of the owners said, well, thank God Stan Kroenke indemnified us against this, and he's going to be footing that bill. And lo and behold, he doesn't wind up footing that bill. Now, I think a lot of NFL ownership presumes they are going to get this 7.5 per team or 7.9 per team back still, and that it's going to wind up just covering it for a time until this is sorted out and Kroenke does, in fact, pay the money. But I don't think in the views of a lot of other ownership this thing's resolved yet, and I think it has made Kroenke enemy number one on the owner's list, which is a hell of a job,
Snyder.
Hell of a terrific job with Dan Snyder contending for it.
Yeah, Snyder's one of the 31 against him right now. And so he's also paying the $7.5 million, just like every owner is, and it's $232.5 million of the $290 million.
No owner, of course, in Green Bay, but the Green Bay team.
Yeah, that's right. It's $790 million, and it's $232.5 million of the $790 million. I said $290 million. Of the $790 million that they're having to pay and split. And look, some people scoff at this because all these billionaires
this
and millionaires.
This is the legal fee part of it,
there's
I think.
The legal fee part. And there are budgets within these big businesses and big companies. And whenever you, in May, are having to account for $7.5 million within your business and your company, you're looking around finding out where that's going to come from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure
you've accounted for that.
I'm sure you've got a bucket of petty cash or unforeseen expenses or whatever, but still,
well,
you don't want to go into that. $7.5 million is not pocket
change,
even though we tend to think.
Let's use local as the example here in Nashville, where ownership locally is coming up with $700 million of liquid finances to help finance a new stadium.
Well, and ownership recently bought out a third of ownership.
Right. So you're pulling as every $100,000 counts here.
Yes.
And even if you're getting the 7.5 back, you're not wanting to put it away into escrow, you know, as you try to figure out what Kroenke's going to end up doing with the legal fee part of this. That's why everyone's so upset.
And they just lied.
And every team has an example like that.
Goodell got up and lied in Atlanta. I mean, they lied about the Los Angeles project as it was going on when Kroenke brought property in L.A. and said, Goodell said at an owner's meeting, oh, you know, he invests in real estate all over the place. There's no plan to go out there. Then the St. Louis Post-Dispatch does excellent journalism and unveils documents that show that Goodell and the league knew exactly what was going on and he was lying throughout this. Then he's presented with that at these owners' meetings in Los Angeles, and he lies again. Just one of these lies, Chad, that is this, here is the absolute proof. And he goes, oh, no, never mind that. Yep. We had no idea what was going on. Just a bold-faced lie when you're presented with the evidence and you just ignore it and say no.
See, I only feel bad for team owners that have to pay evenly in all of this with it split between the 32 teams that have stayed, in places where they could have gone somewhere else more lucrative. And now they have to pay because someone left to go somewhere more lucrative. I understand that it also goes back to the league as well, but because they didn't want to stay somewhere that had a team.
Well, I would
divide
those.
And I'll tell you who doesn't feel bad for, you know, the league and the Rams or anyone else at all. The people of the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
Are sitting there thinking, who cares? I mean, give me a break. Cry me a freaking river about your $7.2 million you got to spend if you're an NFL club for this. But I do feel, you know.
Well, those people would rather Stan Kroenke get hurt than Amy Adams Strunk.
The Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills, you know, teams that the Cleveland Browns, who had to get an expansion team, right, when their team left. I don't feel bad for the owner of the Tennessee Titans, whose family moved a team from Houston because it was going to be more lucrative and a better situation for them here. I mean, this what goes around comes around. Right, eventually you're going to have to pay the piper for that, and you're going to do something that's going to piss off a city enough where everyone's going to have to pay.
But
and you've got the money.
Kroenke is the guy who did it to St. Louis more than anybody else. I think if you went to St. Louis, they'd say, yeah, I want the league to hurt, but I really want Kroenke to hurt because Kroenke's the guy that backstabbed us, went back on promises, did this to us.
My point is, in some way, all of these owners have benefited from this leapfrog mentality.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not getting everything I want from this city, so I'm going to go get everything I want from this city. Fans of the team in the previous city be damned. I understand that's business and that's life. But I'm also not going to sit here and throw a pity party for the league having to pay $7.3 million because you were paying for the sins of your fathers. And you're paying for the sins of your fathers' fathers on this, and you're making more money than ever. So I really don't care. On their behalf. I'm not going to sit here and cry for them.
Well, the sins of your fathers is accurate in the case of Amy Adams Strunk, who's
exactly
literal
what I
father.
Said.
But if, not Steve Bisciotti is not Art Modell's son.
What did I say, though? The if you're a new owner that didn't have anything to do with the previous one, or you're the Buffalo Bills, or a team that has been in a place that has been hit by hard economic times, and you didn't bolt for L.A.
Right.
or Vegas.
Well, so there are only a few that fit your definition. The Colts would be one. The Titans would be one. Who else are we talking about?
The Colts, at one point, left Baltimore.
Right, I'm saying the Colts are one that you're fine being punished. The Titans are one you're fine being punished. There aren't too many. The Chargers.
Yeah. Again, but the rising tide.
Raiders.
Right? A team in L.A., still puts more money in the pockets of every NFL owner with revenue sharing. So they're still benefiting from all these moves. They're not benefiting like Stan Kroenke benefits from the move, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Like these things and these deals made with the devil to get everything you want out of a municipality that's desperate for the NFL and to squeeze the blood and the life of everything for a new stadium to screw over your fan base in the old stadium who's got nothing to do with the mayor or the civic system in that stadium that won't build you a stadium, I mean, eventually it's going to come back to get you. And if it comes back to get you in the form of, what, $7-point-something million dollars, whatever.
You make a good point. But still, Kroenke promised them he had this covered, and he's going back on his
word.
They
have every right to be mad at Kroenke. I'm just simply saying I'm not going to feel bad for them,
yeah,
for any of them.
That's fair.
Especially not Kroenke.
Well, you've got the other
Kroenke's
issue, too, with Kroenke, where he's not squeezed. The NFL's not squeezing the lifeblood out of L.A. to go get the stadium. Kroenke went out and purchased the land and built the stadium. It's all financed through him.
Yeah, he took care of it, which is a
miracle
scenario.
He built his own palace to move.
Miracle scenario.
And then took on the Chargers as well.
And here's what's going to happen to St. Louis. Next team that threatens a move, and I don't know who that's going to be. It's not going to be the Titans, who are locked in here. The Bills didn't really
get to
that
point. Who would it be? Carolina?
Might be Carolina, but St. Louis is going to be atop the list of places.
Tepper has said he's going to invest in the area.
Yeah, but that thing fell apart with their training facility, and he's going to bigfoot them.
You know who this ultimately could hurt? Because I'm trying to look at how do the 31 other owners flex a little bit on Kroenke? And it comes down to the 24. Is it 24 that votes through a new owner in the league?
Yeah, supermajority.
It's the son of the Waltons, who is a part of the group or one of the bids on the Denver Broncos. And so of course, Kroenke is married into that family. So if they really want to vote out a member of the family, that's the way to do it. But is it also beneficial to have another Walton in the ownership family?
Yes.
Yes. But that's how you get back at Kroenke in some way. And that's like the next thing that could be pointed to. It's like, oh, they're going to withhold their vote because they've got to pay their $7.5 million.
Well, it's kind of a family thing.
You want their vote, it's going to cost you $7.5 million.
You're pissed at him, but you're not going to divorce him from the family either because of what he has brought in.
Yeah,
that's up to Kroenke to make it right with his fellow owners, however he deems fit. I just, to reiterate, I don't feel bad for any of them.
Paul, Marshawn Lynch threw quite the party despite losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so he was on Chris Rock's podcast. I imagine Chris Rock gave him Kevin Hart. That was bad. Kevin Hart's podcast, Cold as Balls.
Yes. They sit in cold tubs.
I imagine that Kevin Hart gave him more room to speak than these guys on the other podcast that we talked about earlier who were cutting off LeSean McCoy when he was talking about his offensive coordinator not getting NFL head coaching jobs. Marshawn Lynch had a party after the famous Malcolm Butler interception won the Super Bowl for the New England Patriots when Marshawn Lynch should have gotten a handoff near the goal line for Seattle. First off, he said, virtually coming off of the field after that interception that basically ended that game, he ran into Lenny Kravitz on the sideline, who was kind of shaking his head at him, and Lynch shook his head back at him, like, yeah, what the F? but then he said...
He wasn't the only one saying that.
That his party with his family and friends included 76 12-bottle Hennessy cases. Let me say that again. 76 12 cases of Hennessy that included 12 bottles. He said they went through 15 of the cases. So they drank over a gross of Hennessy bottles that night. Enjoyed the night without thinking of the play that happened just hours before. I don't know how anybody's capable of that unless you drink that much Hennessy.
That's 912 bottles.
Marshawn Lynch,
I don't know why they couldn't instead of saying the 76 cases of 12, it's 912 bottles of Hennessy.
That's a lot of Hennessy. And so that's how Marshawn Lynch and his family got past Malcolm Butler's heroics.
And they had how many of those?
15.
15. So 15 times 12, which is, I know, over 144, which would be 12 times 12.
Man, it's over 150, 162, 174.
Look at you.
174 bottles.
And this is after a loss.
It had to be a huge group of people.
Think about a victory party.
I mean, if I drank one bottle of Hennessy, I'd be sick.
I've never had Hennessy.
I've had Hennessy.
If you drank one bottle of Hennessy, I think you'd be sick. Sure you'd be sick.
Is it you guys were at Jerry Jones Hall of Fame party and they gave you the burger on the way out and the gold wrap thing?
Mm-hmm.
Does just everyone, you walk in, it's like, all right.
Hand you a bottle of
Hennessy. It's like Edward Forty Hands.
Hand you two bottles.
You gotta tape your hand to a bottle of Hennessy.
Duct tape. You just walk. Yeah.
Guys, you're not leaving until you finish that bottle. Every guest gets one bottle.
Did you say Edward Forty Hands on purpose?
Yes, that's a game.
That's a game.
Oh, I don't
know. Heard that? It's Edward. It's in a movie that I watch, but Edward Scissorhands. But instead, it's Edward 40 Hands, and you walk into a party, and both your hands are taped.
Forty's
got to finish him until you get rid of it.
Yeah.
So you have no use of your hands, just with 40s on them.
I wouldn't do well at that game / party.
That's either a party or it's called fraternity hazing.
Yeah. It's called a Tuesday night in my house.
I don't want to brag, though. But I
walk through the door and say, all right, kids, let's go. Let's break out the 40.
I don't want to brag,
40 hands after this week here.
Yep.
I don't want to brag, though, but I am going to the Catalina Wine Mixer.
Oh, I'm thrilled with this. I need photos. The Catalina Wine Mixer, Paul, is a brilliant concept for the area of town that is throwing this massive party shindig.
I don't know how massive
blowout.
It is. But,
if you're calling your party the Catalina Wine Mixer,
it better be a blowout.
Things are going to be ramped up, and it will be amped middle of the afternoon.
I'm excited.
Is this?
It doesn't start in the middle of the afternoon. I think it starts at 6.
Oh, this party will start in the middle of the afternoon. It's a Catalina Wine Mixer. That's
a great name.
That is the expectation. You raise the bar, Chad. Like if Chad was throwing a Catalina Wine Mixer in Mount Juliet,
they'd be closing down streets.
I would be the greatest party of the year.
They'd be closing down streets.
If I threw a Catalina Wine Mixer, I'd have Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly at the party.
I think I'm wearing.
I would go all out.
I mean, this is like
I think I'm wearing the hat that I got.
It's going to be great weather. This should be like a white tent in the back back area.
Should have some guy singing opera that doesn't normally
acoustic
sing.
Acoustic music, no doubt. Oh, the whole thing.
Adam Scott can make an appearance. I mean, you got to go big.
Armando Salguero has likely been to a Catalina Wine Mixer.
For sure.
He will join us. We're going to get into the NFL headlines and discussion, which includes Colin Kaepernick with a workout yesterday with the Las Vegas Raiders and the inner workings of how this has all played out and how it could play out. That's next on OutKick 360. OutKick 360 rolls on from 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Crew is all here, and that includes Armando Salguero, OutKick.com, who joins us each and every Thursday to discuss the big NFL headlines and discussion topics. Armando, always great to have you on the show. Hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are wonderful. We cannot complain today. What was your reaction when you saw the headline jump through yesterday from Schefter that the Raiders were bringing in Kaepernick for a workout?
Well, there wasn't a lot of surprise in that. Raiders owner Mark Davis is a big Colin Kaepernick fan. He has made it known to multiple coaches throughout his tenure as owner that if they want to bring in Colin for a workout, and beyond that, if they feel like they want to sign Colin Kaepernick, that he would give them his blessing. So with the Raiders having a quarterback situation that they do right now and the desire to be a team that the season doesn't crash if Derek Carr somehow gets hurt, They're looking at every which way to see if they can improve their backup quarterback situation.
What do you think the odds are that a guy who's been out of the league for 5 years, we're talking about him now against a guy like Jarrett Stidham, or if you look around the league, competition like Tim Boyle and Kyle Allen, as opposed to the competition that he once wandered into, which was with starters, what do you think the odds are that he could be better than those guys, sight unseen, obviously?
Right. Well, you know, Paul, we're moving the goalposts a little bit, and that helps Colin Kaepernick. It's no longer him wanting to work out for a team so that he can get onto the roster and then compete for a starting job. That's not in the cards. And I don't think that's in the cards basically anywhere in the NFL at this point. But, you know, he has decided that he'd be fine with getting onto a roster and being the backup. And if that is true, if that is something that he can do, if that is something that the starter would abide, that the coaching staff would abide, then, you know, he probably has a good point that he could be better than a lot of these number two and number threes in the NFL.
The anticipation of Kaepernick on the field. Paul asked this question yesterday. Would it be the biggest that we've seen in terms of just attention? And certainly in recent years, but just player on the field, even in a backup role, Armando, that's what's so significant to the answer. The backup quarterback role, splitting reps with anyone, getting this much attention is unheard of.
Right. And again, you have to have a starting quarterback that kind of is very selfless and very secure in his position and his abilities, because let's face it, the first chance that that Colin Kaepernick has to, you know, try to be the starter, he's going to welcome it. And there will be media members out there that if the starter struggles a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, which is, like, you know, very common in the NFL, there will be calls for Colin Kaepernick. And that's one of the reasons that teams have been very wary about adding him, is that it's not just about adding, you know, Joe Public to your roster and he'll kind of sink into the shadows. It's adding a guy who has made a lot of money, arguably more money than he did as a football player, as an activist, and as a mythical figure, really, to a lot of people. And so they want him to succeed, and they will put pressure on folks to let it play out. Look how much pressure there's been in the from the media to get Kaepernick a workout. And once that has come, now we've got some media folks saying, well, you know, how many other teams are going to give him a workout? Because a lot of teams should give him a workout. It's not just one team that should do it. A lot of teams should do it. And once that happens, then it's talk about goalposts moving. If he gets on a roster, well, he deserves to start. Well, he deserves to, you know, it's always going to be something until he's on the field as the starter. And an NFL team has to manage that with any backup, but more so with backups that come with a name. Tim Tebow had that for vastly different reasons, but nonetheless, there was a show atmosphere and a kind of like a an army of people that had interest in wanting him on the field, and Kaepernick has a similar situation with his little army.
Armando Salguero, our guest, we have seen players away from the game for one, two and a half years. Michael Vick comes to mind. There are others at other positions, at wide receiver and others, who have been suspended or had their own issues and had made their way back. But to be out of the game at quarterback for 5 years, or any position for 5 years, and to be able to come back in a tryout scenario, in a workout scenario, and actually receive a contract offer would be remarkable.
It would be unprecedented, I think. And let's also have a little bit of perspective here. Colin Kaepernick, 2012 was different than Colin Kaepernick at 2015 and 16. There was a, you know, from my I didn't cover the San Francisco 49ers, but I watched him play. He's okay. He wasn't a top 10 quarterback. He wasn't a top 15 quarterback. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about an okay, you know, NFL starter 5-6 years ago who has not played, who is in, what, 33, 34, And, you know, it's a long road from the Super Bowl in 2012, was it, to 2022, and you haven't played for 6 years.
So, Armando, a judge ruled against the NFL's motion to dismiss the lawsuit from John Gruden. Do you feel like he's got a chance in this case to prove his point that someone did have it out to get him from the NFL?
I think he's got a chance. I hope he's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he does. So obviously this score won for Chucky, but we're a long ways from him having a victory over the NFL. The NFL is famous or infamous for beating down legal opponents. They just drag it out and turn it into this exhausting marathon of an exercise. And eventually the other side often wears down, or there is a, some sort of settlement. And, you know, my guess is that the NFL, this is round one of maybe a 200 round fight.
Armando, I'm assuming you either saw the HBO Real Sports piece with Deshaun Watson's accusers and or you've read the excerpts by now from that piece. What did you make of what HBO put out there on Tuesday night?
That was a good job by HBO, I thought.
Yep.
Solid reporting. And I got to tell you, it accomplished something that I believe that the Watson camp was wary about, which was to make the allegations and the alleged victims sympathetic. And the one question that was just stunning and stands out and still has not been answered, even though it was asked, is the following. Why should we believe one man over 22 women? That's a hard question to answer. And the answer that the lawyer for the Watson camp gave was, well, look at the lawyer who brought those 22 women together. He solicited their stories. He solicited clients. He went on social media and he tried to bring these people along. And, you know, that's just not her other answer was, and by the way, he wasn't the first lawyer that those people, you know, solicited. In other words, several lawyers turned down the so-called plaintiffs before their actual lawyer accepted the case. And I'm thinking, so what? So, I mean, so what? Lawyers turn down cases for a litany of reasons, including they recognize that the opposition has a lot of money and maybe they don't. They recognize that it's a long and arduous road and maybe they're in it for a quicker payoff. And of course, they maybe think that the case doesn't have merit and they're not going to win. But that doesn't mean that you just dismiss the allegations from 22 different women. In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. I know some of it comes down to system fit, personality, and certainly what it'll cost the team in terms of draft compensation and salary. We've talked a lot about Baker Mayfield. What do you think the market will be for Jimmy Garoppolo once his shoulder is okay? Because it certainly seems like most of the league is pretty comfortable with its quarterback situation right now.
Yeah, he's going to get traded, Paul. And my guess is he's going to be starting for somebody, come the 2022 NFL season. And he was basically traded, and the deal was all but done. And then all of a sudden, people found out, the teams found out, that he had shoulder surgery and he can't throw. And it's hard to consummate a trade when the tradee cannot perform the task that he is supposed to perform once he has become the trade dead. So once he starts to throw again, and I think that's going to happen in mid to late June, I'm sure you'll possibly see videos of Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball around, and then all of a sudden, soon after that, you'll see a trade consummated.
Armando Salguero, our guest, we had a discussion right before you joined us, Armando, about Kroenke and the NFL owners finding out that they're going to have $7.5 million held back as a part of this move from St. Louis to L.A. Aside from Dan Snyder or what's going on with, you know, Haslam giving the guaranteed contract to his quarterback in Watson, how do you think Kroenke is viewed across the league?
Before I answer, I started to laugh because initially I thought you said Gronky, like Gronk-y.
And I'm thinking, name.
Wow,
yes.
It's like that?
They're very
close. You guys
close.
Are like... on baby Gronky. Name terms with
pillow
Rob
talk. Yeah. Hey Gronky, I'm not Tom Brady.
You hang up. No, you hang up.
I was thinking, wow, where'd this come from?
Gronky.
Look, so $7.5 million, right, for each team. Okay. Number one, I don't care. Number two, I don't care. Number three, I don't really care that 31 billionaires are going to have to give or have already put $7.5 million into a till to pay off the promise note, the promissory notes of a guy that just won the Super Bowl and beat them all for the Super Bowl championship. My eyes glaze over when we start talking about billionaires having to pay millions. It's like, I'd rather discuss Gronky.
Well, he's going to end up back in Tampa, right?
I think so. Yeah, and it would be a huge surprise if he doesn't. And by the way, they are working out, and by they I mean. Brady and Gronky are working out. So that's going to happen. And I believe the timing is just after the workout program for the Bucks and the OTAs is over. That's about the time when Gronky will say, okay, if he's going to play, this is the time to do it. And I'll report to training camp, but I'm not doing this, you know, June 10 days of OTAs and staying here and working on the offense and that I already know and dealing with stuff when my quarterback isn't here half the time. He's gonna time it just right.
From Gronky to Bieniemy. Armando, what did you make of LeSean McCoy's comments on the podcast about Eric Bieniemy not getting a job because people really see the coach that he actually is when they interview him, and went on to say that he doesn't talk to players in an appropriate way? What did you think?
Well, it's one man's opinion, right? And yep. So LeSean McCoy has a right to his opinion, and that was his experience with Eric Bieniemy. I would say that clearly, that hasn't been everybody's experience with Eric Bieniemy. And to equate that to he's not been hired as a head coach because of this, because of the way he speaks to players, I think that's – I find that a little hard to believe because, interestingly, the Kansas City Chiefs continue to bring him back. Their offense continues to roll. It continues to be very good. I haven't heard Patrick Mahomes say this. I haven't heard Alex Smith before him say this. I haven't heard guys who have, you know, Travis Kelce say this. Tyreek Hill's not even there anymore. So if he were to say this, this would, you know, be significant. But, you know, when you have a player who at the end of his career was not happy with the way that he was handled, I don't dismiss it, but I mean, we talked about 22 women before. One voice is one thing. If there was multiple of these opinions, now we've got something.
Armando, have you ever attended a party called or close to called the Catalina Wine Mixer? Paul will be attending one this weekend.
Wow. Really, Paul? Really?
Yep.
Are you going to wear a jacket, Paul?
A hat, I think.
I think a linen jacket would be appropriate. No?
I'm not thinking jacket. I'm thinking shorts.
Are you going to wear socks?
These are all great questions. I'm thinking the same thing.
I haven't put that much thought into no-show socks, footwear.
Maybe.
Yeah, no-show socks.
Interesting. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Wow.
Sorry.
Hey, you're being as honest as LeSean McCoy, and that's all we can ask for. That's a perfect answer.
One man's opinion.
That's a little hurtful.
Just one man's opinion, though, Paul.
Well, I mean, if you were in town, I would see to it that you weren't invited.
The Catalina Wine Mixer with PK. I cannot wait for the reviews. And Armando, if you'll remind us next week, we'll have you weigh in on Paul's. We'll have a photo of. Hopefully, we'll have a photo of Paul at the wine mixer.
We'll see if I'm willing to share photos or if this is a private event.
Red or white wine, Armando?
Well, first of all, everyone has a phone now, Paul. So it's not just about you taking pictures.
Yeah. Well, everyone, you don't know the people at the Catalina Wine Mixer.
Yeah, this is like going to see Chris Rock when he's working on material. They're going to take his phone on the way in and make sure there's no photos. This exclusive event.
Well, that's
again, if that's the case, my prediction is true. Greatest party in the history of Tennessee this week.
Paul may not be here for the show on Tuesday.
That's right. I could still be hungover.
He may still be at the party, just locked in to whatever's going on.
Can't wait.
Armando, go ahead.
Red or white? I believe the correct answer is always yes.
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 Yes. Same whenever you're joining us. Do you guys want Armando today? The answer to that is always yes. Armando, thank you, man. We will catch up next week.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, Armando Salguero.
I picture you sipping a nice Riesling, white.
I don't mind Riesling, but I'm a red wine guy.
Yeah, me too. But for this event, I'm thinking outdoors. I'm thinking Catalina Wine Mixer. I'm thinking Riesling.
I'm not a huge wine guy, so I'm going to have to.
I have a feeling they're going to have a sangria or something.
Oh, I like a nice sangria.
Yeah,
you think they're going to have an ice luge?
No.
For shots?
No, this is an adult party.
I go to an adult Christmas party where I've told the story about the fight where Keith Bullock walked out and said they don't want to
fight.
They had an ice luge at that party. this thing was at Belle Meade.
And during the break, I want everyone to picture the ice luge, but also the ice sculpture and how it was crafted and the what was it
where you were drinking from.
What was it carved as at the Withrow party?
Well,
that
wasn't my party.
No.
Nah.
Trust me, I'm not springing. Who's funding this project? Not me. I'm not springing for an ice sculpture.
As they say about party invitations, you'll know.
I'm not springing for an ice
sculpture. Chad not springing for a party, we know.
Well, there's a media member and a 49ers player that will not be partying with each other anytime soon. The details of this straight ahead that has played out in real time on video and audio, and it's crazy with the 49ers. We've got details of that next on Outkick 360. San Francisco 49ers defensive lineman Javon Kinlaw had a confrontation with Grant Cohn of Sports Illustrated and Fan Nation, who is one of the reporters there on site on a daily basis, I would presume, for the San Francisco 49ers. And Cohn had been critical about Kinlaw's rehab process. saying he was going to be a medical bust unless he kicked things into gear as a former 49ers draft pick. And Kinlaw took exception to this and approached Grant Cohn at the practice facility at OTAs and, like, flipped off his hat, off his head, and chest bumped him or, you know, whatever. And then Cohn was on what I would presume is something he does on a regular basis, which is this live feed, Paul, similar to what you would do, chatting with fans.
It's his YouTube channel yeah. that he was on.
And Kinlaw requested and joined his video chat and then went into this tirade, just profane tirade against him for 5 minutes where the quotes were, stop playing with me. I don't blanking play like that. You don't know me. I'm not the blanking one. My whole family knows what you look like. And, you know, side note, the remarkable thing, Paul, is Kinlaw is eating throughout this entire right. thing. And I never actually saw him physically take a bite of anything.
No, me neither. It's just miraculous, a regenerative bite.
During the next break, Chad's going to eat a hot dog, and it would be as if he were eating a hot dog and never actually physically picked up the hot dog.
And it was like his speaking was the chewing.
Yeah.
He did not stop talking. There was never any right. air for a response from the writer. It was so over-the-top crazy, it almost looked fake. Like it almost looked like it was a put-on
I think
time.
Grant handled himself pretty well here. I think he would have said more if he could have found more spaces to say more. He did say, do you think the 49ers would be happy with the way you're representing them right now? And he was trying to ask what I would have tried to ask, the key question, tell me what has upset you so much. What did I say that has upset you so much? Kinlaw was spinning out of control so badly he could not calm himself down to answer that question. He had no interest in answering that question. He just was repeating himself to no end.
And he's speaking on behalf of all the players, saying everyone hated the guy.
Yeah, he definitely threatened him at one point, Kinlaw did, and said, I know what you look like. My entire family knows what you look like.
Yeah, good job. I have a YouTube channel. You know what I look like.
Also, the only time – but again, I mean, saying, you know, my family yeah. – it was clearly a threat, a kind of a thinly veiled threat. But the only time that I thought Kinlaw was remotely smart was the reporter asked point blank, do you think I'm scared of you? And he said, I don't give a bleep if you're scared of me or not. I just know that I approached you as a man, and your voice got lighter than my baby's. And your body temp got ice cold.
Ice cold.
Yeah. When I went up to you face to face.
Well, that's what happens when a guy significantly bigger than you, who's paid for being big and strong and tackling and hurting people, gets up in the face of a regular-sized guy whose job is to report and offer analysis. So that's really impressive by Kinlaw that he could physically intimidate somebody much smaller. Good job by you. That must be a very proud moment.
Javon Kinlaw, of course, was a star with the Gamecocks at South Carolina, 14th overall pick in 2020, and has spent a ton of time in the training room, which he took exception to, and Grant Cohn pointed that out, and it played out live on YouTube, unlike anything we've seen, quite frankly, right. because a lot of time it's tweet and response, and this was a back and forth that was on the record and unedited.
Not a lot of fourth.
Coming
49ers has some damage control to do, I think.
We'll see if they speak. Coming up, there are new rules for NFL roster management. You'll want the details next.